This is Core Christianity. We're answering your questions about the Christian life Monday through Friday. Your hosts are author and seminary professor Dr. Michael Horton and Pastor Adriel Sanchez. Call right now with your question at 1-833-THE-CORE. That's 1-833-843-2673. And now here's Adriel Sanchez.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Core. I'm Pastor Adriel Sanchez, and I'm joined by Professor Michael Horton. And believe it or not, this is a real special episode. We have an announcement to make for you that you're going to want to stay tuned for. We're practicing social distancing right now. I'm actually not in the studio with Professor Michael Horton. We're separated, but we're still communicating, answering your questions about the faith. Give us a call with your question if you have one. You know, we're hearing a lot of bad news these days. It can be depressing. I mean, it usually is depressing when you turn on the news, but I feel like now, almost more than ever, I mean, with all the things that are going on with the coronavirus, it's hard to find good news. Mike, I recently read something that you wrote about a good news story coming out of Africa. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's really amazing. Women of Hope in Nigeria. Some of our listeners may be familiar with Rafiki. It's an organization, Christian organization based in Florida that has built all sorts of orphanages and villages for HIV-positive women and their children. And really all across Africa, they've just done wonders. Well, anyway, I wouldn't even have known about this if my wife weren't on the board. They are not ones to toot their own horns. They just quietly do their work. And this wonderful story is of Women of Hope in Nigeria making, out of beautiful African fabric, making masks. When they found out that the hospital, the local headquarters of the organization in Florida, was needing masks, these wonderful sisters in Christ made 135 masks, and they're in production making more. So here's a hospital now in Florida, an ICU ward, where people are able to have something that they couldn't get. And they got it all the way from Africa, from our dear sisters there who are themselves suffering the ravages of the HIV/AIDS epidemic.
Wow. Yeah, it reminds me of what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8. And he's writing about the generosity that was given among the churches of Macedonia. Listen to what he says. "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty has overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part." What a modern day picture of that.
Yeah, it is. And I love that passage, Adriel, because it's such a crazy mishmash of dissonant phrases and terms. Out of their extreme poverty, they were overflowing with joy. And out of their poverty, gave so generously. That is exactly the kind of work of the Lord that only comes through the cross of Christ, where you're able to say, it's not that I'm giving out of my abundance, I'm giving out of my poverty. That's what a lot of these sisters are doing, and they're just richly blessed by doing it.
Well, praise the Lord. I hope that encourages you as you think about that sacrificial giving. You know, at a time like this, when a lot of people are suffering, through the gospel, we as believers in Jesus Christ are able to extend love, service, generosity to others because of what Jesus has done for us. We're excited to get into the program for today and hope that you continue to receive encouragement as we answer these questions about the faith. Let's go to the first question from Sandra.
Yes, my name is Sandra Staggs, and I'm from Perryville, and I was just calling in about speaking in tongues. According to 1 Corinthians 14, there is such a thing still in the church, and I was just wanting to know what your perspective is of it. Thank you very much. Bye.
Sure. Yeah, thanks, Sandra. Well, as you know, there are different takes on 1 Corinthians 14 and on the practice of tongues in general. I think that we kind of jump out of the gate a little too quickly on this question often by asking, is it still for today? The first question really is, what is it? And when we look at the whole Bible, we begin to see that there are these really major episodes in the history of redemption that catch our eye. For example, the Tower of Babel. You recall that that's where humanity got together to try to build a tower reaching to the heavens, sort of like a technological salvation. We're going to all get together, we're going to speak the same language, and we're going to basically become gods. And God descended on that proud building project, and he scattered the nations and divided their languages. Now, in Acts 2, he's uniting the languages. And so people are understanding the gospel. It's really important to notice there, Sandra, that in Acts 2, it's not that people are speaking unintelligible sounds. Rather, the reason people are caught off guard from all over the empire, they're there for the Feast of Pentecost, is because they understand the gospel preached in their own language. That was what was so off-putting to them. What is this? What's going on that we can understand the gospel? These backwoods Galileans can't know our dialects and our different languages, but here they are preaching the gospel in words that we can understand. So the whole point was that it was intelligible words, not that it was unintelligible, but it was intelligible words that the speakers themselves had not learned. They hadn't learned those languages. And so whatever tongues refers to in 1 Corinthians 14, it can't be unintelligible utterances. And that's Paul's point. I think Paul's using a lot of sarcasm there in 1 Corinthians 14. Basically, I'd rather speak one intelligible word than a lot of gibberish. And he says, whatever you do, do not speak in tongues unless there's an interpreter. So that's what happened in Acts 2, right? At Pentecost, they heard the gospel in their own tongue. The whole purpose was to get the gospel out to as many people as possible. Here they are gathered at Pentecost. Now they're going to all go back home and they're going to take the gospel with them. That was the purpose of tongues. The purpose of tongues was not a personal private prayer language for your own benefit. Rather, it was to communicate the gospel. So Paul says, don't do this in public worship unless there's interpretation. There's somebody there who knows that language and is able to interpret it. And definitely don't put off those who are gathered there. He said it must be for edification. You can't edify unless you know the language. It doesn't help anybody, Paul says, if you're having sort of your private language over there and nobody else understands. And if a non-Christian walks in, he'll say you're mad. Everybody here is crazy. And he'll, walk out. So it's really clear that whatever tongues is in 1 Corinthians 14, it's not to be practiced in public worship unless there's interpretation. It's also clear that the whole purpose of tongues is not for a personal edification, but for the edification of the whole body.
Mike, I remember years ago being at a church, and I think they really could have benefited from hearing Paul's exhortation here. Look, if there's no interpreter, what are you guys doing? Because, I've seen it where you have a church service that's going on where half the church is speaking in tongues, and it does seem like this is crazy. There's not really anything intelligible happening. So, Sandra, what we have to understand is, look, Paul talked, one of the exhortations that Paul gives there in 1 Corinthians 14 is everything that's done needs to be done decently and in order. And so often that's one of the things that seems to be missing in a lot of these movements is decency and order, being submitted to the word of God. That's what we want to do as we open up the scriptures. We think about what the Apostle Paul is saying here. And so, Mike, I appreciated how you broke that down. There's this redemptive historical shift. Tongues is actually showing us that now the gospel is going out to the nations there in the first century. And we don't want to miss that crucial point.
Exactly. It's a sign. And also, remember the previous chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, the famous love chapter, Paul is already beginning to challenge the Corinthians to put love first. And what has happened in Corinth is you have a lot of folks who are basically proud of their spiritual superiority as they see it, and they lord it over everybody else. They say, well, I've had this extra experience. And Paul says, if I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, then I'm just a clanging cymbal. And that's just crashing noise. And I think whatever your take on tongues and what it is and whether it's for today, I think the main thing we have to take away from this is for the gospel, the spreading of the gospel and the edification of the saints. And it is not something that we use to beat up our brothers and sisters for, quote unquote, not having.
Yeah.
You know, folks, Adriel introduced the program by saying that we had an announcement. We do. We've successfully launched this program in September of 2018. It's hard to believe it's already been. it really is. And on hundreds of affiliates nationwide, also as a podcast. Adriel, it's so much fun to do this with you. I've had a ball, and our whole team that makes this possible. It's people you don't hear behind the microphone who actually really make this happen. And from the beginning, we plan to have a live program where we're answering caller questions live every Monday through Friday. And I'm excited to announce that we're going to make this transition. Our leadership team realized our plan of going live every day wouldn't be possible with my current teaching, writing, and travel schedule. But we wanted to do it. We really want to do this live call-in program. As we were planning to go live, we began to look and pray for someone with deep radio experience who shared our heart, the heart of core Christianity, to teach people the core truths of the Christian faith. And we're so excited to announce we found that person in Dr. Bill Meyer. Bill joins us now on today's show. Welcome, Bill.
Hi, Michael. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, it's great to be with you. It's really amazing that someone of your experience and stature and education, training, and heart would be willing to join us in this endeavor. Bill is a veteran broadcaster, folks. You may recognize his voice when he comes on. He has a background in both general market and Christian radio. He also holds a doctoral degree in clinical psychology from Biola University in Southern California, my alma mater. Many listeners may be familiar with Bill's work for the national media ministry Focus on the Family. And during his time at Focus, Bill hosted the weekend magazine program, The Family Minute with Dr. Bill Meyer, and the Family Insights TV news feature. He also served as Dr. James Dobson's primary fill-in host on the Focus on the Family daily broadcast. More recently, Bill hosted the morning show at KSBJ Radio in Houston and the Faith Radio Network in Minneapolis. He currently hosts the overnight program on the Moody Radio Network and on Moody's Praise and Worship channel. Bill and his wife, Lisa, have three energetic teenagers and an even more energetic Labradoodle named Sparky. they make their home in Minneapolis. And Bill, it's just great to have you on board.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's just a blessing to be part of the Core Christianity team. I have listened for a while, and I believe so strongly in what you're doing. There's just such a huge need right now in the American church for people to understand the core tenets of their faith and to reach out to non-believers who don't understand what Christianity is all about and to be able to share that with them, share that wonderful good news of the gospel. And you and Adriel have been doing that for the last couple of years, and it's a real blessing to be able to join you in that.
Well, I want to ask you a couple of questions here. I'm sure our audience like to get to know you better. Those who don't already know you, which came first? You're a well-credentialed psychologist, but also very well-known as a veteran of Christian radio. How did that blend happen?
Oh, that's a great question. I worked in general market radio for a number of years in a couple of different cities. I was on the air in Seattle, Washington, and San Diego, and then in Los Angeles, I did a morning show there for about 5 years for a big FM station. But during that time, I felt God kind of stirring my heart to go back to school. So I entered graduate school and earned my doctorate in clinical psychology, as you mentioned, at Biola, a wonderful school that helped me to integrate both clinical psychology and Christian theology and understand how the two of them fit together. And from there, I worked with low-income children and families at a Los Angeles County mental health clinic. And during that time, Focus on the Family reached out to me from Colorado and said, hey, would you consider joining our team? And that was a great way for me to integrate my experience in radio with my education in psychology. So I joined the team at Focus, was there for about 8 years. You mentioned some of the different things I was involved with at Focus. And it was a true blessing to be working with those great folks who have such a commitment to the family and keeping marriages strong and helping parents to parent effectively. So here we are today. I mean, it's kind of come full circle in a way that I'm able to join your team now. And I'm very excited about joining Adriel. Adriel and I have gotten to know each other over the past couple of months, and I just appreciate his pastor's heart, just who he is as a person. And so it's going to be a lot of fun for us to work together. And of course, you're going to still be joining us on a regular basis, giving your insights, which will be really exciting as well for our listeners.
Well, you're raising three teenagers, Bill. I have to imagine that you're psychoanalyzing yourself quite a bit.
Yes. Every day, Mike, every day. It is, you know, Adriel's got younger kids. How old is your oldest, Adriel?
So my oldest is 8 years old, and the youngest is a year old. And so we've been having a lot of fun quarantined together at my house has turned into Middle Earth.
I will just tell you that 10 years from now, it's a whole different ball game. So yeah. when your oldest is 18 and you and your wife are pulling your hair out, you'll know how I feel being quarantined with three very active teenagers in our home here.
I feel your pain, Bill. I feel your pain.
I think that by the time I get there, there won't be any hair left. So,
oh, gosh.
Oh, you know, one of the things I'm so excited is I know from the very beginning, our dream has been to have a live program where we're taking live calls and answering questions about the faith. And the dynamic just changes with that so much. You know, we're able to engage the caller in a way that is unique. And I think in a way that allows us to go even deeper into each question. And so, I know that's something we're hoping, and Lord willing, we can launch in the fall. I would love to just ask you who are listening right now to pray for us and to pray that the Lord would open those doors. I mean, more than anything, what we want to see, what I want to see is people grow in their knowledge of the Lord and in their love for the Lord. That's the goal. That's what we want to see, and pray for us.
There's been nothing more encouraging to me, Adriel, I know you feel the same way, than the messages we have heard from people who call in and also who just leave messages that tell us their story of really how these truths have changed their life. Call in. Tell us what's going on or shoot us an email. We love to hear what is happening. And Bill, I know you've received a lot of those letters over the years.
You know, Mike, what's interesting is right now during this whole coronavirus crisis, there are so many believers who have a lot of questions about, you know, how could this happen to our nation? How could this happen to me and my family? I've lost my job, contracted the virus. And so now more than ever, I think it behooves us to be able to provide those answers to help people understand, you know, God's ultimate plan, his big story for each one of us. And so, boy, you know, as difficult as this time is, what a great opportunity to help equip believers to be able to share their faith and the hope that lies within.
Absolutely. Amen. I won't ask you for your favorite assignment in broadcasting, Bill, but what excites you about working with Adriel Sanchez on Core Christianity?
Well, one of the things that Adriel does on a regular basis, and of course, right now with social distancing, he's not able to meet with his congregation, but on a regular basis, he is answering many of these questions, and he has a very diverse congregation with people from a wide variety, different walks of life, and they regularly come to him and say, hey, pastor, I don't understand this, or how does my faith apply to this, or what does this Bible passage mean? And so Adriel, over the last couple of years, has really had an opportunity to engage, you know, be right there in the trenches. And that comes across on the air, Mike, as you know. Mm-hmm. And so that excites me to be able to work with a pastor who is right there week to week engaging with these difficult issues and able to really, you know, bring them down to the level of the person in the congregation, so sitting in the pews, so that they can clearly understand God's intent for their life.
Yeah, he can drill down as deeply as he needs to on any question, but he can also hold somebody's hand and just pray with them. I love that about Adriel, and I know that you and Adriel are really going to be in sync as you take people's calls, not only across the country, but around the world.
Hey, Bill, thanks for that. You know, I'm really excited about getting to work with you. And as you said earlier, you know, we've gotten to know each other over the last few months and have a few good laughs. And I think the Lord is really going to bless. I know that the Lord is really going to bless us as we focus upon Him, upon His Word, and getting that message out. So why don't we continue answering questions about the faith now with an Instagram message that we received from Josh. Josh asked, could you please explain Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4? It seems that Isaiah 2, 1 through 3 is about the last days, which, according to Hebrews 1, 2, we are in. If that's true, what is Isaiah 2, 4 about? And does it have anything to do with Joel chapter 3, verse 10? Thank you. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I want to just read the text. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it, and many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go out the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge between the nations, and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. What a beautiful portion of scripture. I mean, just the kind of thing that we hope for, that we long for, especially in a moment like this. Pestilence, war, those kinds of things that we're experiencing. And yet you come to a text like Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and you think, wow, I can't wait for that day. And Josh, one thing that I would want to say is that you're right on. This is a prophecy about the end times. And in one sense, we're there. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 talks about that. But even more clearly, later in the book of Hebrews, the author of the Hebrews makes it absolutely clear that right now, when we gather together for worship as Christians, we're going to that mountain of the Lord that Isaiah chapter 2 talks about. I'm thinking of Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 18. Listen to what the author of the Hebrews said, and then think about this in light of what we just read in Isaiah 2. For you have not come to what may be touched. He's talking about Mount Sinai there. A blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further message be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion. And just think about that for a second. He's writing to a group of believers, a New Testament church, and he says, when you gather for worship, you have come to Mount Zion, into the city of the living God, at the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering. So in one sense, Josh, when we come together as the church, we're coming before the heavenly Jerusalem, the mountain of the Lord. That's the fulfillment, in a real sense, of Isaiah chapter 2. But then what do we do with a passage like Joel 3:10? So in Isaiah 2, 4, it talks about time of great peace. And then you get to Joel chapter 3, verse 10, and it sort of reverses that. It talks about a time of great war. Well, we're coming before the heavenly Jerusalem in a real sense every time we gather for worship. But the reality is, and I think this is what Joel is getting at in Joel chapter 3, verse 10, there is coming a day of judgment, the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that's going to be a time of great conflict. Isaiah chapter 2 is this wonderful promise of the whole world gathering around the mountain of the Lord. And in a real sense, through the work of Jesus Christ right now, that's us. We should read Isaiah 2, Hebrews 12, and think, Lord, restore that to us. Bring us back up the mountain, if you will.
Thanks for listening to Core Christianity. To request your copy of today's special offer, visit us at corechristianity.com and click on Offers in the menu bar, or call us at 1-833-843-2673. That's 833-THE-CORE. When you contact us, please let us know how you've been encouraged by this podcast. And be sure to join us next time as we explore the truth of God's Word together.